Hallelujah. Amen. Okay. So let's start to hear what God wants to speak to us. I want to continue on the series where I started on Saturday in Case Meet, the dimensions of the fire of God. I want to know how many of you have went through, apart from those who were there, because many of us were not there, so any which ways, but how many of you have went through the sermon, the teaching of the fire, the teaching of the tree of life? How many of you? Raise your hands. How many of you have went through the teaching of the tree of life? Okay, very few of you. So I have posted a sermon and I want to continue on that series. So for those who have, okay, Sister Jaya also has, a few of us have, go through that teaching so that you can understand better. There are dimensions to the fire of God. There are dimensions to the fire of God. Okay. The first time the fire is mentioned in the Bible, it's in the book of Genesis. It's in the book of Genesis. Let me take some time for the benefit of those so that we can have a platform of going ahead with the deep revelation that I am going to share tonight. So the first time the fire is mentioned in Genesis chapter number 3 verse 24. When you read that, God set a flaming sword to go all around to protect the tree of life. Hallelujah. There was the fire that was mentioned in the Bible. And the fire was not a single element. The fire was clubbed along with the sword, which is the word of God. It's a combination of the word and the spirit. The fire signifies the spirit and the sword signifies the word. Hallelujah. But the protection that it was giving to, it was protecting the tree of life. Now many of the pastors and many of the people in the church are being taught, the most common interpretation of the tree of life that they give is the tree of life is Jesus. No, the tree of life is not Jesus. The tree of life is not Jesus. The tree of life, I told last time, I don't have time, you go and refer. The tree of life is a mystery that is used by God to govern the universe. That is the tree of life. It's a mystery of the government of God. And when you read in Revelation chapter number 22, it talks about two trees of life. There is not one tree of life. It talks about Revelation chapter number 22. It talks about two trees of life that were there alongside of the river that flew, that was flowing from the throne of God. And the Bible says there were 12 fruits on each tree. Now what are the 12 fruit? 12 fruit here and 12 fruit here. Those 12 fruit signifies the 12 throne position. And it says that the trees bear fruit every month. The interpretation of those verses is there are 2 months. Because as per God, one day can be 1,000 years and 1,000 years can be one day. As we calculate the calendar days on earth, it is not like in heaven. In the realms of God, it's different. The calculation of there is no time actually. God is not governed by time, first of all. But the calculation of heaven, I don't have time to go into all those things. There is a calculation of how time is calculated in heaven. And Apostle Peter says, for God, one day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years is like a 2 day. Those every month are 2 months. The first month represents the time before Christ and the second month represents the time after Christ. There were 12 throne positions in the time before Christ and 12 throne positions in the time after Christ. Those are the 12 fruits on either side of the throne of God, which the tree of life has. And the Hallelujah. Are we understanding? Amen. Do you remember on the mountain of transfiguration? Jesus was transfigured and Peter, John and James were sleeping. At that time they saw Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus about his departure, about his journey to heaven. Moses and Elijah, why they were talking to Jesus? Because they were the throne men of God. Hallelujah. In the Old Testament there is Abraham, there is Moses, there is Elijah, who have the throne position, who were the carriers and the conduit of the mystery of God on earth that rules the earth, the tree of life. God rules the earth through the mystery of the tree of life. Hallelujah. To understand it in detail, refer back to the sermon. So why did I explain the mystery of the tree of life is because I wanted to reveal the first dimension of the fire of God. The first dimension of the fire that was around the tree of life, the flaming sword around the tree of life. The first dimension of the fire of God is to protect the sacred things of heaven. Okay, for the benefit of those, I will take some time to explain what I spoke last series. So the first dimension is what? The fire of God to protect the sacred things of heaven. Do you know what are the sacred things of heaven? That's why, hallelujah, are we understanding, people of God? The tree of life is to implement the eternal kingdom of Jesus Christ on the face of the earth. It will happen to the fruit. And you know who are the fruit? The fruit are the one who are having throne positions with God, who go to a level of ranking in the spirit, who become counselors in the throne room of God. Hallelujah. Because then they tap into the, and through this men, God rules the earth. God wants to rule the earth. Those are the tree of life. 12 throne positions here, 12 throne positions here. Two trees, 12 fruits, 12 fruits. Are we understanding? In the New Testament, those 12 throne positions, the Bible says in the book of Matthews, I told you there is a verse in the book of Matthews 19, 27 and 28. It was given to the 12 apostles. Those are the fruit. Okay, any which ways. So, the fire, the first dimension of the fire of God, the first fire mentioned in the Bible, it signifies the fire to protect the sacred things of God. What are the sacred things of God or the sacred things of heaven? First sacred thing is the mystery of God's dominion, the tree of life. That's why God kept that tree of life away. Only those who overcome this world and stand before the judgment seat of God and are declared as clean, Jesus will give them the permission to eat the fruit. That means to eat and partake of the eternal rule of Jesus Christ on the face of the earth. Are we understanding, people? Okay, please give ear to the teachings that I am teaching you. Okay, otherwise you will not understand. Focus on what I am speaking. So the first dimension of the fire of God is to protect the sacred things of heaven. The sacred things of heaven, what are they? They are the mystery of God's dominion. None of the mystery is known to the devil because they are protected by fire. None of the mysteries. And God is a God that rules not by power but by wisdom. That's why he is having not a crown on his head when John met him, Jesus, in eternity form. Jesus does not have a golden crown. Jesus in eternity form, he has a hair which is white like wool. That signifies that he is very ancient. He existed. He always existed. No one created him. He is the ancient one, the ancient of days. So the advantage that God, you know, anointing, devil does not fear anointing. Let me tell you this. Many people have this wrong. That, oh, I am anointed, the devil is afraid. No, the devil isn't afraid. The devil can come and take you, hold you and take you somewhere. Anointed man of God. What he is afraid of when a man operates by mysteries. Because when a man operates by mystery, he fools the devil. The devil cannot understand his next move. Hallelujah. The Bible says the rulers of darkness were unaware of the mystery of the crucifixion of Jesus. They did not know, and that's why they crucified our Lord. But in doing that, they were fooled by a mystery that operated. They thought, yeah, we are going to be done away with this Jesus, the Son of God. But by killing Jesus on the cross, crucifying him, they took part in fulfilling God's purpose for salvation. They were fooled. Amen. Hallelujah. And when Jesus died and he broke the gates of death and took the keys of hell, I will not go into those revelations. I have already preached on those things. The devil was like, oh my God, what I have done with my own hands. I have destroyed myself because God was operating through a mystery. And that mystery is not known to the devil and the powers and the rulers of darkness because there is a fire that guards it. That is the first dimension of fire. Are we understanding, people? So the fire to protect the sacred things of heaven are mysteries that are protected by fire. Then there is God's throne. You know, God dwells in unapproachable light where no man can see him. That light is fire. He dwells in fire. There is fire all around him. I don't have time to go there, but that is the second sacred thing of heaven where fire protects God's throne. Okay? Hallelujah. Then the elders in the throne room. The elders, some people have rankings with God where they have raised up. Maybe they don't have a congregation. These people, Abraham, Moses, Elijah, these people did not have a congregation, but they had a position and ranking in heaven. Their lives are protected by fire. We will come to that today. That is my topic, but I am explaining you the backlog. Okay, the elders and those who operate, God's people who operate by his spirit and word and mystery, even those people are the sacred thing of heaven. If you are a steward of God's mystery, listen to me. You are a steward of God's mystery. You are a spirit filled. You are walking in the spirit, walking in the word, living a life of consecration and surrender. I am telling you, the dimension of this fire will be always around you, protecting you. Hallelujah. You become a sacred thing of heaven. You become a sacred being of heaven. And then the dimension of that fire protects you. Hallelujah. Okay. Remember 2 Kings chapter number 6. Elisha was attacked by the Syrian army. And the servant said, oh, alas, my master, we will die today. And he said, oh, my friend, let God open your eyes. And he saw the chariots of what? Fire. Elisha knew that he was a steward of God's mystery. He was operating in mysteries. And then that's why he knew that if I am a sacred being of heaven, the devil and the world cannot kill me because I am protected by fire. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes. Your life can become a sacred element of heaven if you live a consecrated life, a life completely surrendered to God. Completely laid down. There will be fire all around you. You will be on the top list on the book of witches and wizard, but yet they are not able to kill you because there is fire. Yes, hallelujah. I know how many witches and wizards have me on the top list in the realms of the spirit, but they can't do anything to me because I know there is the fire all around me. Hallelujah. Are we understanding, people of God? Yes. Fire. Oh my God. Zechariah chapter 2 verse 5 says, I will be the protection for Jerusalem. I will be like walls of fire around Jerusalem because that is my sacred city. That is where I will dwell. Okay. That was the first dimension of fire. The second dimension of fire. Hallelujah. The fire of God does not only mean fire of God. The fire of God has different dimensions and functionaries. Okay? The second dimension of fire is the fire to access mystery. Is the fire to access mystery. The fire which is the light of revelation to access hidden mysteries, secrets. That is the second dimension of fire. And I want to start off with the second dimension of fire. I don't know how much I can cover tonight, but let's see. I already started with the second dimension of fire. If you want to access mystery, you need to go through fire. If you want to know mysteries, you need to go through fire. Because unless you travel through fire, you cannot access the mystery. Hallelujah. Do you think by going to a Bible college and having a Bible degree, you will access the mystery? No. There is a fire that protects mystery. And if you want to have access to it, you need to go through the fire. Hallelujah. Jesus was only revealed to three young men when they went into fire. The mystery of the Son of God. Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego. When they were thrown in fire, Jesus was revealed to them. A fourth person who looked like the Son of God walked with them. My God, what a privilege for young men in the Old Testament to know the mystery of the Messiah. Long before he would appear. Long before he would come. Oh God, hallelujah. If you are a young man and if you are ready to go through the furnace of fire, you will access mystery. You would know Jesus as the other Tom, Dick and Harry don't know. As the other hanky-panky Christians around you don't know. You will know Jesus in a way that no one knows. Because Jesus is a mystery. His life is a mystery. Which was ordained before the foundations of the earth was laid. Hallelujah. I am telling you. Are we understanding, people? Are we understanding? I don't claim to know all the mysteries, but I am hungry to access mysteries because that is the core of my ministry, to reveal the mysteries of God to the church of God. Because listen to me, the most powerful thing I do is not prophesying, is not the healing ministry, is not a miracle ministry. The most powerful thing that God has given me is to access mystery. And if people are ready to learn mysteries, it is impossible for the devil to take you down. Impossible, near to impossible, if you can access mystery. But to access the mystery, you need to go through the gates of fire. Because there is fire that protects the tree of life. There is fire that protects the mysteries. Okay. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. Let's go there. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. And let's see verse number 7 onwards. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. If the wisdom of God is inside a mystery. And if you want to have the wisdom, you need to access mystery. And that would be accessed through fire. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. The hidden wisdom. Where it is hidden, people of God, inside the fire. The hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages of our glory. Which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Okay? I've already explained rulers of age and all those things. Let me go ahead quickly. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear has heard, nor have entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. Underline that, meditate on that. The teacher of mystery is the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. The teacher of mystery is the Holy Spirit. You will ask why the Holy Spirit can teach mysteries. Because the Spirit of God is the most ancient spirit. He existed with God. The Father, Son and the Holy Spirit. He existed before even Lucifer was created. He has the storehouse of all the mystery. And only he can teach the mystery. And it says then, for the Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. The deep things. There are four deep things of God. It's plural, things of God. There are four deep things of God. The first deep thing of God is the mind of the Lord. Is the mind of the Lord. Okay? The mind of the Lord is the seven spirits of God. Hallelujah. The mind of the Lord. Remember, Elisha was went to that place and there was a widow who lost her husband who was in debts. And the people who gave her the debts, they came to her and they wanted to take the sons, her sons. So she came to Elisha for help. And Elisha said, "What is there in your house? Your breakthrough will not come from a loan through a bank or not come from anything else, but from something that is there in the house. That is not power. That is not word of knowledge. That is the mind of the Lord that he was operating in." Are we understanding? When we are addressing a matter, a problem, there is always a hidden solution when we access the mind of the Lord. The mind of the Lord is the perspective, first of all, of God. You might look, "Oh, I don't have anything to pay off this debts. I don't know what to do. Who will give me money? Someone will lend me money. Someone will bless me." That is how you are looking at the problem. But God is looking at the problem in another way. God is saying, "No. You already have the solution to your problem and it's with you, it's inside your house. But your mind does not knows that. God's mind knows it. That is the mind of the Lord. And when people carry the mind of the Lord, they cannot be stressed out, they cannot be depressed. But people don't have the access to the deep things of God. That it's a mystery to access the mind of God. The mind of God is the seven spirit of God. The spirit of God was upon him, the spirit of wisdom, understanding. That is the first stage. Wisdom and understanding is the perspective of God. Understanding a matter through the eyes of the Lord. So Elisha first said, "What do you have in your house?" Because what you have in your house is what will bring deliverance for you. That is the mind of the Lord. So that is wisdom and understanding. Then it says the spirit of wisdom and understanding, counsel and might. The second stage is, she said, "I have an oil of jar." So Elisha said, "Now you have known the element that will bring your deliverance, but how to use it? There comes counsel and might." There comes counsel and might. So there you have to apply counsel. And Elisha said, "What you need to do is, you need to borrow empty vessels and borrow the oil, borrow empty vessels and pour out the oil that is in your vessel into the empty vessels." Hallelujah. That is the spirit of counsel and might. And then comes the knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. What to do when there is an increase? Hallelujah. After you have applied the counsel of God, when there is an increase, use it as per the will of God. Because many of them don't completely operate in the mind of the Lord, because when there is an increase coming from his perspective and his counsel, and then they lose on the fear of God and his knowledge to use it. Are we understanding? But Elisha said, use it not to go and buy some unnecessary things. Use it to pay off your debts. Are we understanding? The spirit of knowledge and of the fear of God. That is the seven spirits of God. Remember, the Holy Spirit would come, Jesus said, and it would convict the world of sin. One. Second, of righteousness. Third, of judgment. In John chapter number 16. Remember that? Those are the three dimensions of the mind of God. The three dimensions of the mind of God. The Holy Spirit would come and convict the world of sin. Wisdom and understanding. That means wisdom and understanding. It will give you the understanding that you are a sinner and you need a savior. Hallelujah. That is the understanding that the Spirit of God will bring in you. It will convict you of your sin. Now, when the person accepts the wisdom and understanding, that is true, I have sinned and I need Jesus, then the second realm of the mind of God will operate in that person. That is the spirit of counsel and might, which will lead him to live a righteous life after accepting Jesus. Are we understanding the Bible? Okay. the spirit of counsel and might, and the second thing it says, the spirit will convict of sin and the spirit will convict of righteousness. The spirit of counsel and might will lead him, to counsel him, to live a righteous life. And when they live a righteous life, the fruit will be produced, prosperity will come, ministry will come. Then the spirit will produce, it says, the spirit will convict of sin, righteousness, and third of judgment. It will bring the fear of the Lord and the knowledge of the Lord, which comes through the fear of the Lord. That one, now you are living righteously and God is blessing you, but always know that you have to continue to walk in it, because there is a judgment set for you. Hallelujah. So the Holy Spirit convicts every human being of sin, but it depends on if they are receiving the wisdom and understanding of God and accepting that they are sinner and they need a savior. If they don't do, he leaves. The second process of convicting of righteousness of and judgment does not come. When the Holy Spirit is able to fulfill the complete mind of the Lord in a person, that person will surely go to heaven. Hallelujah. Are we understanding the mind of the Lord? That is the first deep thing of heaven. Hallelujah. It's a part of mystery. For understanding the mind of the Lord, it took me 10 years to read the Bible. And after that, I started and I went through fire. And then after 10 years of reading and meditating, I started to access the things that I am teaching you now. Hallelujah. Amen. The mind of the Lord. The mind of the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay. Let's go to the second deep thing of God. The second deep thing of God are the burdens of God. The second deep thing of God are the burdens. Let me go through this quickly and we will come to our topic. Those are the burdens of God. Prophecy is a burden. When Isaiah was prophesying against nations, he said, the burden against Moab, the burden against Babylon, the burden against this, the burden against this country. Prophecy are burdens in the heart of God that are translated to the heart and the mouth of the prophet, and he speaks it out. Okay? There is a burden in God's heart right now, and that burden is a mystery. Only those people who carry fire can know the burden of God. Hallelujah. Only those people where fire has burned their own desires, where fire has burned their own burdens, only those people can carry the heart of the Lord and carry his burdens. Jesus carried the burden of his father. Hallelujah. Many people are carrying their own ministry burden, the own burdens that they want. They don't carry the burden of God because they don't have access to the mystery of the burden. The third deep thing of God. The third deep thing of God is the predestined plan of God. The book of Isaiah says he is the God who has designed the end to the beginning. So there is a predestination set. Even for individual, there is a purpose to your life. God has designed seasons for your life. To access what God has called you to do, you need to access that part of the mystery, the predestined plan of God for your life. The fourth thing is the revelation, the mystery of the written word of God. Every word in the Bible has a meaning, and no one knows the accurate meaning of it. And the Lord gave a gift and an oil over my head, and he said, you will become a Bible teacher who will interpret my word accurately. That is the fourth part of the mystery. Hallelujah. This Bible is not been interpreted accurately. People who become commentators of the Bible, they don't go in the school of the Spirit. They don't go in fire. They don't go in the school of suffering. Hallelujah. Many of the commentators, ask them, they haven't even fasted ever in their life. What they have done is they have received head knowledge, and they relate Hebrew scriptures to English and Greek scriptures and Greek language. They study Hebrew, they study Greek, but they don't study the language of God. Hallelujah. Are we understanding people? Study the language of the Spirit. You will understand the accurate meaning of the Bible. Hallelujah. Amen. And they bring several commentaries, and when new believers, old believers, many of them don't understand the word, but they are hungry to understand the word. When they want to understand the word, you will go and search on Google, 1 Kings chapter number 12, what is the meaning? You will get all the Bible commentaries there. You will never find my revelations in Bible commentaries. You will never find the things I teach with any other preacher, because it has come from heaven. It has come from inside the fire. You will never find these revelations outside. Hallelujah. Because if you want to access the meaning of the word of God, the fire. Hallelujah. You not need to access the mysteries to the fire. Okay. So, let's go to the third dimension of the fire of God. Here starts what God has for today. This was the backlog. Let's start off the third dimension of the fire of God. Now, stay with me. The third dimension of the fire of God is the fire to accept, sacrifices to make covenants. Write it down. That is the third dimension. The third dimension, what? Of the fire of God is the fire to accept sacrifices to make covenants. Now, after fire is mentioned in the Bible here in Genesis chapter number 3, from where we drew the interpretation of the two dimension, after that we see fire in the scripture in the book of Genesis itself. Genesis chapter number, fire that came from heaven. Genesis chapter number 15, 1-5. Let's go to Genesis chapter number 15. And verse number 9-21. Verse number 9-21. Just hear me out, okay? So he said to him, bring me 3-year-old heifer, a 3-year-old female goat, a 3-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. Then he brought all this to him and cut them in two down the middle and placed each piece opposite the other, but he did not cut the birds in two. And when the vultures came down on the carcasses, Abraham drove them away. He prepared the sacrifice God commanded him, and he laid it in order, and he was waiting for God to accept it. So in his waiting, the vultures were coming to eat on the what? The sacrifices, the meat and everything that he has kept there. And he drove them away. He kept that sacrifice there pure. He did not let the vultures eat of it or touch it. Then it says, now when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abraham. You know, remember I told you, if you want to access mysteries, you will access it in the night. So he was waiting all day, and when it was dark, he slept. And the Bible says, horror and great darkness fell upon him. Hallelujah. Those who have met God, those who have had a meeting with God, they know how it feels when God comes in the night. Yes, the horror, the darkness. And you will feel, oh, is it something? And then God, okay, any which ways, let me not go into those things. Then he said to Abraham, know certainly that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, and will serve them, and they will afflict them 400 years. And also the nation whom they serve I will judge. Afterward they shall come out with great possessions. Now as for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace. You shall be buried at a good old age, but in the fourth generation they shall return here, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete. And it came to pass, when the sun went down and it was dark, that behold, there appeared smoking oven and a burning torch that passed between those pieces. That is the fire, a burning torch. This is how the writer Moses explains it. Now, different versions of Bible have different things. But remember, Daniel saw a man in Daniel chapter 10. And Daniel said that his eyes were torches of fire. The same man John saw in Revelation, that was Jesus. And he says his eyes were flames of fire. So some interpreter, it's like I show you something of heaven, like this book. Some of you will interpret it's a box. Some of you will interpret it's a box which is brown color. Some of you will say it's a book. But it's one and the same. Are you understanding? When you see the things of heaven, the torches of fire, the torch of light was fire that came on his sacrifice. Okay, are we understanding? Then it says, after the fire came on the sacrifice, stay with me. On the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, to your descendants, I have given this land from the river Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates, so on and so forth. He makes a covenant with Abraham. When? After fire came, the fire accepted the sacrifice, and then a covenant was made. Okay, listen to me. Okay, this is a deep topic. So let me go slowly. So write down what I am saying now. Covenants cannot be made without fire. Covenants cannot be made without fire. Fire cannot come without an acceptable sacrifice. Acceptable sacrifice cannot be placed without the altar. Okay? So, a covenant can never be made without the fire. And that fire can never come if you don't have an acceptable, a worthy sacrifice. And a worthy sacrifice cannot be given when there is not an altar. Hallelujah. Do you know many people claim to know God, many people preach the word, they claim to be prophets, evangelists, whatever, but they don't have fire. They don't have fire. What they are teaching, if someone is teaching and there is no fire, that teaching will kill people. Because it says the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. So if you are teaching the letter only without the fire, without the spirit, you are killing people. It's so dangerous. So there are many people who are speaking, who are preaching, who are doing ministry, but they don't carry fire. You know why they don't carry fire? Because there is no altar. There is no acceptable sacrifice. And that's why fire does not come. Hallelujah. The fire that accepts sacrifice to make covenants. Are we together? First of all, let me make you understand what is a covenant. A covenant is heaven's legal contract. A covenant is heaven's legal contract signed by God, confirming that he will keep and fulfill his given word. It will happen. If there is a covenant, it will happen. Because God has promised it, legally made a contract with that person that I will do this. Okay? Now God makes a contract. How do we accept the contract? You know, when we pray, we say amen. Do you know the revelation of amen? The meaning of amen everyone knows. So be it. So be it. Hallelujah. So be it. What we are doing is, if we are praying in the spirit, we are praying the will of God. Hallelujah. And we pray the will of God. And after that, we say amen. What we are doing is, amen is an acknowledgement of the covenant contract. Amen is the acknowledgement of a covenant contract. That's why we say amen. You know, how amen has a different dimension. It's not only so be it. The book of Revelation chapter number 3 verse 14. Turn your Bibles to that verse. Revelation chapter number 3 verse 14. It says, and to the angel of the church of Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen. Who is saying that? These things says the Amen. Who is Amen? Amen is also a person. Who is Jesus? This thing says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Hallelujah. Amen. So what, when we say Amen, it's not only so be it. First thing is we are acknowledging the covenant of God. And second thing, we are acknowledging that covenant in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? 2 Corinthians. Stay with me. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1 verse 20. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1 verse 20. It says. No. Hold on. I think it's okay. 2 Corinthians, yeah. Chapter number 1 verse 20. For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, Amen. Hallelujah. Do you see that? To the glory of God through us. Unless you acknowledge your prayer, unless God is making a covenant, but that covenant will find expression to fulfill itself only in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That is the, when you say Amen, remember what you are saying. You are acknowledging the covenant, the written covenant of God. Hallelujah. They're acknowledging the word, the promise of God in Jesus. Not outside of Jesus, in him. Hallelujah. Amen. You see, Jesus is an atmosphere. Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the one where only in him all the covenants can be fulfilled, not outside of him. Are we understanding? Amen. So, are you understanding covenant? Mm. Okay, listen to me. Now, you will say, where was the covenant? The covenant in the Old Testament that signified Jesus was the blood that acknowledged that this covenant is made. Hallelujah. Because when God looked at the blood, he did not look at the blood of animals, he looked at the blood of Jesus. Because the Bible says, before the foundations of the earth was laid, Christ was already crucified in the plan of God. And for your information, God does not live in the space of time. He's not governed by time. So for us, it is 2000 AD, BC, whatever it is, technically, historically. But for him, it's already done in his heart. For him, it's already done. For him, he already sees the end to the beginning. But we are living in the space of time. So we are going ahead with the occurrences of prophecies, with the timeline. But he is not. Okay, any which ways, listen to me. So Amen is acknowledging, yes, in Jesus. Hallelujah. So covenants will only find expression when you will accept those covenants saying Amen, and acknowledge those covenants saying that this covenant is not to fill my pocket, this covenant is not for me to become famous, or not for me to become someone big in the world, but this covenant I acknowledge it in Jesus to fulfill his purpose and for the glory of his name. That is covenant, that is Amen. We are saying in Jesus, Amen. Are we understanding? Okay, let me give you a few more verses. Ephesians chapter number 1. Ephesians chapter number 1. You have to understand these things. Ephesians chapter number 1. Verse number 4, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. Verse number 4, just as he chose us in him. underline, he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Before the foundation of the world, where we were chosen? We were not just chosen, we are chosen in him. Our calling find expression when our heart is intended to live for Jesus and to only and only fulfill the his purposes, be concerned about his burdens and to fulfill his plan. Only in him the calling we have can be fulfilled. Even the calling is in him. Are we understanding? So those people who look at ministry as a career option, they are not in him. They are not called by God. Those people who are looking at ministry as an option to become famous like other pastors, they are not in him. Because every calling is in him. You are chosen in him. Intended, created, chosen to fulfill his heart, his purposes, to do his will. Are we understanding? Prayers are made in him. Covenants are made. Why does God make a covenant in him? I have covenants in my life that I know where, hallelujah, God, because I have a covenant, I will never go down on that area. But that covenant is made for the benefit of the kingdom of God, for the glory of Jesus and for the extension of his kingdom, not for my benefit, in him. Are we understanding? You got to understand the basic of a covenant. Because if you go to God, I am going to fast 21 days fasting. I want to make a covenant that I want to have money flowing into my account every day. That is the covenant I want with God. That does not happen like that. Every covenant are made in him to fulfill his purposes. Are you understanding? Those are covenants. Then another verse, Acts chapter number 17. Acts chapter number 17. Verse number 28. Acts 17, 28. For in him we live and move and have our being. As also some of your poets have said, for we are also his offspring. In him we move. In him, whatever we do is intended to fulfill the purposes of Christ. Hallelujah. Is that true in our life? Is that true in our life? Let us ask ourselves. Whatever we are doing is intended to fulfill God's purposes. In him I move. In him I live. In him I have my being. Oh my God, that is powerful. Okay, are we understanding? So covenants are legal heaven's contract signed by God that will confirm his will. But that covenant will be fulfilled when we acknowledge that contract, saying amen. So God needs our sign there on the contract, amen. And what we are saying amen, we are agreeing with God, we are acknowledging the contract, but at the same time we are saying, Lord, in your son Jesus, I acknowledge the contract for his glory, for his kingdom. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? God wants to make a covenant with you, but you are so selfish that the acknowledgement you are giving cannot fulfill the fulfillment of that very covenant he wants to make with you. Are we understanding? For us to be a partaker of the covenants of heaven, we need to be selfless, deny ourselves, and only look to fulfill the purposes of Christ. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? Amen. That is a covenant. Okay. Are we learning something tonight? Okay. Before going into Revelation, we have to set our mind to study the word. First of all, understanding meanings, understanding covenants, understanding how we accept covenants. So I am going ahead teaching you those things, and then we will slowly move into the revelations of the fire. Okay. Hallelujah. So, let me read it out. So, all covenants and promises are made and fulfilled by God are centered in his son Jesus for the glory of his name and for the extension of his kingdom. Okay? So, then the next thing is, now Abraham offered a sacrifice and he was keeping the sacrifice there. Okay? That is how sacrifices were offered by this patriarchs, by this men of God in the Old Testament. Okay, remember Elijah built the altar, rebuilt the altar, repaired the altar on the mountain of Carmel. He offered the sacrifice, but he washed the sacrifice. He kept it pure. That signifies. Okay, we will come to the laws of the sacrifice and the altars. Listen to me. I am going to teach you something that will change your life if you listen carefully. Hallelujah. Listen to me. So Abraham offered a sacrifice, kept it pure, and the Lord accepted the sacrifice, not by his hand, not by sending an angel, by sending what? Fire. Okay? Elijah offered the sacrifice. What came and accepted the sacrifice? Fire. So, God accepts and receives sacrifices by fire to make covenants with a man. First of all, the fire of God brings the utterance of covenants. Write it down. The fire of God brings the utterance of his covenants that cannot be made without an acceptable sacrifice unto God. Hallelujah. The utterance of his covenants comes by the fire, and the covenants cannot be made until an acceptable, a worthy sacrifice is been laid on the altar. What, as per the Bible, is an acceptable sacrifice? Now, I have already taken a sermon called the Revelation of a Perfect Sacrifice. In that, I have taught that to bring a perfect sacrifice that can be accepted before God, there are three aspects of requirement. The first aspect of requirement is the life of the person who is bringing the sacrifice. Hallelujah. You cannot hold an alcohol bottle in your hand and you cannot pray at the same time and God, ask God to accept your sacrifice of prayer. Your life needs to be accepted first of all. The person who is bringing the sacrifice. Hallelujah. To bring the sacrifice, they sacrifice in the courts of the tabernacle. And no one can go in the courts of the tabernacle with impurities. They need to consecrate even the priests who are ministering there. They have to be consecrated. And if they are not consecrated, they can be killed there. If they don't fulfill. So the life of the person comes into consideration. One of the mega church preachers who is an international speaker, his sermon is famous where he says, where he demonstrates bringing a lamb to God. And then he says, God is not looking at your life. God is looking at the lamb. God is looking only at Jesus. Oh my God, don't believe that doctrine. That is not a perfect sacrifice. That gives people a license to sin and live however they want. And then bring the blood. Oh Lord, I sinned, but I bring the blood. I drank alcohol, I had fornication, I slept with 10 women, but I bring the blood. No, that is not what God wants. The first requirement is your life. Hallelujah. If your life has to be sanctified, consecrated and holy, that is the first requirement of sacrifice. The second requirement of sacrifice is the sacrifice itself. The sacrifices of God that you are offering to God has to be pure, has to be first, has to be with the right intention, has to be holy, has to be the best. Hallelujah. That is the reason Cain's was rejected, Abel's was accepted. It was the first fruit that Abel, the first of his flocks that Abel had brought to God. It is the quality of the sacrifices. We will come to what type of sacrifices we need to offer. Hallelujah. Listen to me. The third thing is the medium through whom you are offering the sacrifice. If you want to offer the sacrifice to devil, you take a tortoise, people take a rabbit, people take a goat and go and offer it through the ministry of a witch. The medium. The medium through which we offer sacrifice is Jesus Christ, because he is the perfect sacrifice. Through him, God accepts all sacrifice. That is the perfect sacrifice. But what I want to speak on today is an acceptable sacrifice. Let us leave the two requirements. Let us concentrate on the sacrifice. On the sacrifice as of now. What kind of sacrifice would God receive? Write it down. An acceptable sacrifice is a sacrifice as per his will and his delight. An acceptable sacrifice is a sacrifice as per his will and as per his delight. But Apostle Raoul, what is his will? His will is a sacrifice of a complete surrendered life and body. That is his will. A sacrifice of a complete surrendered life. That is the sacrifice that needs to be offered. Listen to me. Romans chapter number 12. Verse number 1. Romans chapter number 12. Verse number 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Present your bodies. What are you doing with your body? Are you wearing dresses that exposes your body parts? Are you drinking alcohol? Are you smoking cigarette? Hallelujah. Present your body as a living sacrifice unto the Lord, it says. That signifies that a sacrifice of a complete surrendered life. That when you go to God, the fire will only come when you surrender all to God. That is what I want to say. The fire will only come when you say, Lord, my hands, my legs, my eyes, my mouth, my ears, these are not mine. You use it, Lord. I don't want to use anything of my body. I don't want to use anything of my will to fulfill my purposes, but your will. I give myself wholly to you, Lord. Wholly to you. Whatever you are telling me, I will do. If that sacrifice is offered, the fire will come. That is what God requires. Then along with the body and the life, there is also the state of the heart. Psalm chapter number 51. Hallelujah. Psalms chapter number 51, verse 17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. You will not despise. O God, you will not despise. What is a broken spirit? A broken spirit is a spirit where you say, I have tried many things. I am completely broken in myself. I acknowledge, Lord, I can't do nothing by myself. Only you can do it through me. That is a broken spirit. Hallelujah. That is a heart that completely depends. That is the sacrifice tonight God wants on your altar. Many people make the altar, but they are not able to surrender all. So the fire does not come. Hallelujah. Are you understanding the sacrifice that needs to be offered? Hallelujah. Listen to me. When we have come in Psalm 51, also let me take you to Psalm chapter number 50. Psalm chapter number 50. Verse number 5. See what it says. Gather my saints together to me, those who have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. Hallelujah. Gather my saints to me. Well, who? Those saints who have made a covenant with me with a sacrifice. He's gathering those people. Then what it says, verse number 8, it says, I will not rebuke you for sacrifices or your burnt offerings which are continually before me. God remembers the sacrifices that are as per his requirements that you made. It is always before God. And on the basis of your sacrifice, he remembers the covenants and he comes for you. And the fire is already always there with you because you got a covenant with God. Are we understanding? Yes. Hallelujah. There is also a danger of offering a wrong sacrifice. Let me not go into detail for that. Leviticus chapter number 10, verse number 1 to 4, when you read, it says that the sons of Aaron offered strange fire, sacrifices that were not commanded by God, and God consumed them. Hallelujah. Remember, don't play with the altars of God. Hallelujah. Don't even pray prayers to pull down altars if your life is not holy. It will bring backlashes. If you are not walking in the ways of God, if you are sitting with sinners, sitting with idolaters, fellowshipping with them, and here you come and try to show people, I am an intercessor. Don't play with God. It will bring serious backlashes in your life. Don't play. If your life is not consecrated, be honest. Tell, I need more time. I am working on myself. And with the help of God, I will overcome. But as of now, I am not eligible to pray those prayers. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? If you don't have an altar, you cannot fight with a demonic altar. If your altar is not having fire, oh my God, don't fight with other altars. If you don't have fire on your altar. The reason Elijah went ahead to kill the prophets of Baal and Ashtoreth, because fire came on the altar. Before that, he did not do anything. The reason why he entered into a spiritual warfare to kill the enemy, destroy them, because after the fire came on the altar. People of God, are you listening to me? Okay. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. People of God are not carrying the fire of God nowadays because they are not following the process of setting up altars and laying up the sacrifice of their life with a selfless heart. There is no fire in the lives of people. When they speak flesh things. They speak human knowledge. They transfer human intelligence. Nothing is of the spirit because there is no fire. They have studied the Bible, but they have not given their life completely to God. Are you ready to give your life? Forget about marriage. Forget about property. Forget about what money that you want. Tell God, Lord, I forget about everything. I give my life completely to Thee, O God. I don't want to do anything as per my will. Holy Spirit, take over my life. The fire will come. Consume your sacrifice. Hallelujah. And then he will make you a minister of fire. I will come to that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? You know, I don't fear people. I don't fear witch. I don't fear even Lucifer himself. Because if he tries to play with me, he's playing with fire. He's playing with fire. Anyone tries to play with my life, anyone tries to fool around with me, they are playing with fire. Anyone tries to touch me, they are touching fire. Ah! Reya man zoko gari manti. Aleboya setiana maraba. Hallelujah. Nowadays, some Christians fear, oh, demon came into your room. So what? They will come. They will come. Why you are afraid? Because you don't have fire. Oh, my back is paining me. Oh, I don't know what will happen. Last time it happened, now it happened again. Why you are thinking like that? Because you don't have fire. You don't have fire. Hallelujah. Oh, today is headache. I will not sit in Apostle Rahul meeting. Let me go to sleep. Why you think you don't have fire? You don't have fire. People don't have fire in their lives, and I'm teaching you how to receive fire. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? The Bible says he will make his ministers ministers of fire. Ministers of fire. Hallelujah. Amen. No one could play with Elijah's life. If they tried to play with him, they are playing with fire. No one could touch Elisha because he was fire. God wants to make you a minister of fire. And it will only happen when you obey the law of the altars and sacrifice. Okay. Hallelujah. Are we understanding the sacrifice we need to offer?
Amen.
Yes. Nothing less than that. Nothing less than that. It has to be your complete life. It has to be your complete life. When you do that, you cannot pray your will. You cannot say, Lord, I want that girl. No, you have sacrificed. Remember. Hallelujah. You cannot say, oh Lord, I am doing ministry, but oh Lord, you know, today I wanted this money, I did not get it. No. Remember, you have sacrificed your life. You cannot ask why, when, Lord, what, Lord, why you are doing this, why you are not answering today, I wanted this today. You have sacrificed. You have sacrificed. You have sacrificed. Now you, if you have sacrificed, God has complete control. You can't ask why, when. You just say, Lord, I know you are in control. Lord, I know I have to pay my bills today and still the money is not there. But I know you are in control. I know, Lord. That is sacrifice life. Hallelujah. Are we understanding?
Amen.
That person has a fire. That person has fire. That person will not skip church because God is not giving him money. He will come. And people will not even understand what he is going through. But nowadays, Christians, one problem they go through, they will message the whole group that they are going through this problem. Oh, I am going through this problem. Oh my God, please pray for me. And what they are doing? They themselves are not praying. And they are praying and they are messaging the whole universe to pray for them. What nonsense. What nonsense is this? Hallelujah. Why? They don't have fire, these people. I'm telling you. Some people send message, send in all the groups to pray. What? If all people pray, there will be power. No, it's enough for one Elijah to pray and God will answer by fire. What God wants is not all people to pray. He's not interested in quantity. He's interested in fire. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? My God. Oh, hallelujah. Some people are praying, oh Lord, let Apostle Raul not continue after this. Let him not continue now. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Okay. The platform to sacrifice is the altar. I am going to teach you. Many people don't know how to set up an altar. Do you want to learn tonight how to set up an altar? It's very simplistic. How to set up an altar? How to set up an altar? Because listen to me. God only encounters through the portal of altars. People have not encountered God and heard his voice. They don't have experience of meeting with God. I know the way he speaks. I know that his words are few. I know that he is a God who will not explain and justify. He will just say that sentence, what he wants to say, and he will go. Yes, he is not a God of many words. He will not sit there. You might ask that question, Lord, tell me why I am not getting married. And you will bring 1,000 points to God. Say, Lord, I done this. I went to this prophet. I did this. Tell me. And you are expecting God to come to you and sit with you and give you an explanation of 1 hour. But you know, he will keep silent. He will not answer you. The day you humble yourself, say, Lord, I am sorry, you know, I was not in my mind. I humble myself. I get rid of those points. What I have done, but I humble myself. And you set up an altar. That day God will come not giving you an explanation of 1 hour. He will come to you, give you 4 words or 5 words and go. Because he is not interested in sitting with people and giving them explanations. That justifying, you know, you are asking this. This is why, because I did not. He is not the God of many words. When you are questioning him, when you are angry at him, he will be silent. He will never answer you. The day you humble yourself and then set up an altar, he will come and give you 4 words. And he will go. He will not speak much. Prayer is not about speaking many words. Do you know that? Prayer is not about speaking many words. Prayer is about, it's about accessing the heart of God. It's not about speaking many words. It's not about bringing 10 points to the Lord that some person said, okay, pray like this 10 points. No, don't do that. It's accessing the heart of God with at the altar, waiting for God to come and give you a word, waiting for God to come. Are you understanding, people? Listen to me. The altar needs to be always in place for you to continue to receive fire and the promises of God in your life through it. Many people have not met Jesus. Many people have not experienced the Holy Spirit. They have not received words from directly from the mouth of God. But they have heard words from pastor, prophets. Oh, I have a promise. Where did you get the promise, brother? The prophet prophesied on me, that prophet. Did you take out time to hear God? No. The prophet prophesied. I believe the prophet. What believe the prophet? God has to come to you. He will only come to you through the portal of the altar. Listen to me. I am not talking theory. I know what I am speaking. Until I understood to set up altars, I did not have encounters with God. Then when I understood, I go every place and there I stay there until my altar receives fire. I set up an altar in that place. I don't even do ministry. I set up an altar. I leave that place. And when I leave that place, Lord, I say I have set up an altar. People coming around this area will encounter you even as I leave this place. Maya Montokoya Mansa. Hallelujah. Is my one of my friend. Do you know if you come to my house, there is an altar in my house. The day you come to my house, if you want to come, you are most welcome. Come to my house. And when you come to my house, you will not leave without encountering God. You will not leave my house without encountering the realms of the Spirit. You will not leave if you come to my house and sleep with me in my bedroom. Where is my friend? Ralston. Come on the screen. Come on. My friend Ralston. He comes to my house. Remove your mute. Let me explain the people with an example. Ralston, are you there? Oh my God, what this man is doing? Hallelujah. I don't know. Some people are not listening. Yes. You are there. You came to my house, right?
Yes.
Okay. Then once you slept in my bedroom, once you we slept in our living room, did you had encounters in my house?
Yes, I did have an encounter. Yes, indeed.
Yeah, so we don't have time to have, because if there is an altar, it's an open portal you are sleeping on. Okay, so this my friend had encounter when he came to my house. Why? Because there is an altar in my house. You will encounter God. I don't even have to evangelize to people. Oh, know this. When I go to sleep, God will come and encounter them and speak to them. Even I don't have to counsel people. You come and just stay with me. You will encounter Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You pray with me. If people, I don't pray with everyone. If you are hungry, pray with me. Pray with me. Every week, once a week, you pray with me. You pray with me. You will start to see what God is showing you when you pray with me. Because there is fire on me. Hallelujah. Are you understanding? Remember Jacob? Jacob was not spiritual. He was fleshy. He slept on a stone, the Bible says, in the night at Bethel, in that place. And the Bible says the heavens opened. It was not Jacob. It was Abraham who had built the altar there. And that stone. Oh my God. If you don't have an altar, you cannot access God. And people don't have it. Many people have idolatry in their house. Maybe many people have demonic altars in their house rather than having the altar of God in their house. Hallelujah. You don't even have to evangelize. The altar will bring encounters to people. Oh my God. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? That is what an altar does. That is what an altar does. How to set up an altar, Apostle Raul? Okay. Write it down. First point, how to set up an altar. The first point is waiting in the presence of the Lord. And how to wait in the presence of the Lord? Waiting in the presence of the Lord is waiting in word and prayer. Waiting in word and prayer. Waiting in word and prayer. Okay. Listen to me. Let me take you to 1 Kings, the way Elijah repaired the altar. First Kings, chapter number 18. Hallelujah. First Kings, chapter number 18. When we read from verse number 30, it talks about that before Elijah brought down fire from heaven, he brought the people near to him and he told them, see what I am doing. I am repairing the broken altar of the Lord. Okay. What he was doing there is, he says verse 30, then Elijah said to all the people, come near to me. So all the people came near to him and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob. That is the covenant, old covenant that he had, his fathers had, Abraham had, Israel had, Jacob had, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, Israel shall be your name. Then with the stones he built the altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench around the altar large enough to hold 2 seahs of seed. Hallelujah. Amen. Are we looking at that? 2 seahs of seed. But in that trench, what he did, he put the wood in order, cut the bull in pieces, that is sacrifice, laid it on the wood and said, fill 4 water pots with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. That is prayer. Water is prayer there. Hallelujah. Okay. So what you got to do, listen to me. I have an altar in my house. Now, whichever place I go, whichever hotel room I go, what I go there and do, I lock my room, I close my phone, and then what I start to do is start to pray in tongues, start to pray, start to sit there and meditate at a place, meditate on the word, Lord, speak to me. One day, 2 day, I am in the word, I am in prayer, seeking the Lord. What I am doing there, I am building an altar. You build an altar by waiting in a closed room, waiting on him, reading, meditating on the word, and praying. What you are doing is building up an altar. Hallelujah. And you wait at the altar. You wait at the altar. You build the altar with word and prayer. You just stay there and you say, God, speak to me, Lord. Speak to me. And in the course of it, you will have Rhema revelations. Sometimes it will be dry. Sometimes demons will come. Sometimes you will go to sleep. You will see dreams, demons coming here and there. Some demons fighting you. Some demons can appear in there. But continue. Because demonic forces don't want you to set up an altar. So they will try their best to make you depart from the place and say, oh, I am attacked. I don't want to stay here more. But the person who continues, overcomes those attacks. And within a course of, the altar can be completed, as per my experience, within a course of 4 days minimum. Minimum 4 days. It can take more than that, but 4 days is minimum. When you continue there for 4 days. When you continue in your bedroom for 4 days. Hallelujah. Are you understanding? Hallelujah. On the basis of the altar that you have built, and then on that altar, you start to sacrifice your life. Lord, I have not come here for big ministry. Lord, I have not come here for big name. I have come here for you, Lord. I want to do your will. I surrender my life. When you start doing that, that altar along with the sacrifice starts to provoke the fire to come from heaven.
Amen.
There will come a time, maybe in the night when you are sleeping, you are waiting your need, the fire will come. I am not talking about physical fire. You feel that fire in the spirit. And when that fire come, after that the Lord speaks. After that the Lord speaks. That is what I do. That is my secret. That is what I do. I build altars. I build altars. Hallelujah. Do you know, no altar can fight me. No demonic altar setup can fight me. Because that is what I, and when the fire comes, and after that a voice will come. A voice will come. That is the voice of God to you. And that small voice will give you treasures that you haven't achieved by your hard work. Oh God, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Are you understanding, people of God? That is simply how you set up altars. So that brings me to my statement that I made before the dimension of this fire. What I said, covenants cannot be made without fire. Fire cannot come without acceptable sacrifice. Acceptable sacrifice cannot be placed without the altar. Without the altar. Hallelujah. And because people are not sacrificing and setting up altars, they don't carry the fire of God anymore. Christians don't carry the fire of God anymore. Hallelujah. Christians so-called are interested. We want to help people. We want to love people. We want to hug people. We want to do this. I want to reach the gospel to the ends of the earth. Sit there and know God first. Brother, don't go immediately. Nowadays churches, they are saved. They make an altar call. These people, drug addicts, they all, oh, we believe in Christ. Be water baptized and go and heal people. What nonsense. Within 1 week or within 1 month maximum, they will backslide. I will write and give you. They will backslide because they were not led to be discipled, but they were led directly into the ministry, which is completely wrong. Hallelujah. No. God is not in a hurry that He will recruit any Tom, Dick and Harry. He wants ministers of fire. He is not interested, because I'm not getting no one, let me take this person. No, he's not like that. He's not like that. Hallelujah. He wants to, he has a vacancy for a long-term course, for a long-term job. He does not want to recruit for short-term, people for short-term. And these people, if they are recruited, they will work for short-term. Hallelujah. Listen to me. When the fire comes, covenants are made. Let me reveal to you a mystery. Do you know Elijah is not a man? Elijah is a covenant. Elijah is not only a man. He is a covenant. Listen to me. I know many people. Oh, what is he saying? Listen to me. Elijah did not die. The Bible says, when you read 2 Kings chapter number 2 verse 11, the Bible says the fire, the chariot of fire, came and received him up to heaven. His life became a worthy sacrifice to God that was accepted by heaven, that was accepted up to God. And that's why his life and his spirit, the anointing he carried, became a covenant that God promised that Elijah will appear before the great day of the wrath of God comes back. His life became a covenant. That is the spirit of Elijah that will appear. That spirit of Elijah, that's why it came in the face of John the Baptist. And Jesus himself said, this is the Elijah to come. Because Elijah was not only a human being. He was an oracle, a covenant of God that was received up to heaven by fire. And that signifies that he became a covenant. And then it says again Elijah will come. Before the spirit of Elijah will be sent in the face of men of God. Before Jesus Christ. Who will, hallelujah. And their work will be the work of that Elijah in the Old Testament. They will repair the altars of the Lord to bring the revival of fire. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh my God, I think I should stop. People are not able to receive revelation. Hallelujah. Listen to me. Listen to me. Hebrews chapter number 1, verse 7. Hebrews. Apostle Rahul, what is God's will for my life? This is God's will for your life, brother. Hebrews chapter number 1, verse 7. And of the angel, he says, who makes his angel spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. Yes, this is God's will for your life. He wants to make you a flame of fire. Elijah was a flame of fire. Elijah was a flame. He did not die. His spirit and anointing was kept and reserved, is reserved in heaven. Hallelujah. For the times and purposes and covenants to be fulfilled on earth by the spirit of Elijah. Because he became a medium, a covenant. Why? Read the life of Elijah. He did not work. He did not labor in his office. He did not waste time in the things of the world. What he did is he lived. Lord, you want me to go to the brook of Cherith, eat from the water. The food will come from the ravens. That's okay. I am going. Okay, food is finished. He did not complain. God told him, go to the widow of Zarephath. There you will get. Okay, I am going, Lord. His life was a living sacrifice. Elijah was a special man. You don't know. Hallelujah. He was not interested in ministry, by the way. Not interested in ministry. He never did ministry. What ministry he did was only for one day on the mountain of Carmel. After that, he was in the hiding. He was in the hiding. He was in the hiding. What he was doing in the hiding? Setting up altars. And there it says, when Elijah says, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, as per your word, I have done it. Hallelujah. He was receiving revelations in the secret place. Hallelujah. And then the fire came. You see, Elijah was a man where the fire grew in his life. And at last the fire grew in such a level that he was consumed up to heaven as a living sacrifice. He did not die on earth. And if God sends a fire to accept anyone, there is a covenant followed after it. Amen. You know why you are suffering financially? Because you haven't sought God enough. And he was not able to make a covenant for your finances. That's why you are begging around. That's why you are in debts. That's why the finances are hindering your mind. Because you don't have a covenant. You know why you are suffering? Because of your children, because of your husband, because not knowing what to do. You don't have covenants with God. You don't have covenants with God. A man who has covenants with God knows, hallelujah, that even if no one gives him money, he has a covenant in place. Yeah, that's why I don't ask for money. Hallelujah. If people are not giving tithes and offering when they are supposed to give, they are answerable to God. For that, they are responsible for their own acts. But I don't ask because I know the Lord made with me a covenant that he will never keep me in lack. I know it. I know that. Hallelujah. So even if there is time to pay something at the last moment, I know, Lord, I know I have a covenant with you. And the Lord answers. Because I have a covenant with God. My Jesus. Hallelujah. Are you understanding, people? You don't know the deep walk with the Lord that God has called you for. But that is why God has sent me to the nations. To take people close to his feet. That they may understand his voice and his word and his ways. Hallelujah. Tonight I want to wind up with saying that God wants to make his ministers of fire. Hallelujah. God wants to make you ministers of fire. Ministers of fire. Let us pray. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, 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 I pray that your people will live aside and leave the fleshy works that they are into, Lord. Leave the unnecessary assignments that they are working on. Oh, Lord, many of them are into unnecessary assignment. They are trying to please their family members. They are trying to make them happy. Some are trying to make their boss happy. Some are trying to make their company happy by working, Lord. But they are not focusing on you. Oh, but I pray tonight by the word, Lord, and by your utterance that you will draw, Holy Spirit, your people close to you in Jesus' mighty name. Draw your people close to you in Jesus' mighty name. Re se mangantoyo raban se krebeti arabraba. Lahal siandro bo shambrala. I pray for these people that their appetite will increase, their capacity will increase. In the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, to receive revelations. To receive revelations, Lord. To receive mysteries from you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, Lord. Oh, Lord. Lord, Christians are so afraid of the devil because they don't have fire, Lord. They are so afraid of the devil, Lord. Lord, Christians nowadays are so lethargic, lazy, Lord, in the things of God. If someone asks you, let's go for a movie, you will be fresh. But if people have to listen to the word or pray, they will immediately sleep. Because it's the spirit of the age who is weakening your spirit man and strengthening your flesh. So that you automatically are not able to think. Your workplace is having the spirit of this age. The place where you go to work, it is making you so weak that you are not even able to find God, seek God, do anything for God. Hallelujah. I cast out the spirit of this age in Jesus' mighty name. That is making people lazy. That is making people, Lord, a slumber and sleep. And the Bible says, oh Lord, hallelujah, laziness, Lord, is a sin, Lord. A lazy person cannot prosper in the things of the spirit. Oh my God, that spirit of the age who is weakening their spirit man and working on their flesh and making them tired in their spirit, I cast that spirit out in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. I don't want to release fire. I want the fire God will release when you obey the word of God. Yes. Yes. Go in the way of the word that is from God. Hallelujah. It is time, people of God, to start to set up altars. Leave everything. Leave your ministry. Leave it aside. It's not important. Those calls coming to you, people, oh, I want to pray. I want to pray. No, it's not important. Leave it aside. Go and set up an altar. Amen. Go and set up an altar and ask God to come. Offer a sacrifice pleasing to him and ask the fire to come, because he wants to make you ministers of fire. He wants to make you ministers of fire. Hallelujah. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Ral diama kaburo. Mambran sorobolo holdrial tarabalagrobondia. Hallelujah. This is God's will for you and word for you. He wants to make you a minister of fire. Oh Father, I pray that you will lead and guide your people, Lord. Hallelujah. In your ways, Holy Spirit. Continue. Lord, I pray against the birds of the air. The Bible, what Jesus says, that they come to snatch the seed. I pray against those demonic birds. I pray and I break every stony grounds. I uproot thorns from the hearts of people. I punish every disobedience, Lord. Every ego. I bring it down. Every strongholds of the mind, I bring it down in Jesus' mighty name. Let your people humble themselves before you, that they may receive grace. Because God says, I resist the proud and give grace to the humble. Oh Lord, let them receive the supply of grace of fire by humbling themselves before, completely before the word of God and before you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, every stubbornness that comes from idolatry, I rebuke in Jesus' mighty name. Every rebellion that comes from witchcraft, I rebuke in Jesus' name, Lord. I punish every disobedient spirits and I cast you out. I pull down the strongholds and I bring every thought of men's heart, Lord, and of the woman's heart to captivity, to submission to the feet of Christ. In Jesus' mighty name. Father, I want to thank you once again for this time. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hallelujah. Give a shout of amen to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Sister K will announce for tomorrow. And then on Sunday night, we will have intercession. So come for the intercession. We will have practicals. We will have intercession. Okay? We'll have prayer and intercession. God bless you. Very powerful message, Teacher Pastor Rahul.